Well, I am told that tomorrow Lloyd Gearhart's going to turn 85 years young. 85. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to ask David and Charles if you'd help me. I want everyone to have one of these. And as you're waiting, if you take your Bibles and open up to the book of Mark, the first chapter of the book of Mark, this morning, and we're going to look at the disciples' call. Starting the month of September, we began in Sunday school what we call a 3151 challenge. And we've had lessons that have worked up to what we're going to do today, which is a commitment Sunday. The first Sunday was talking about one great creator. And folks, this world was created by one God. There is only one God. And He created the heavens and the earth. And He filled the earth. And He created the expanse between the waters and the sky. The one great creator. And we were made for one great purpose, and that's to glorify our Lord. And that's what we have come together today to do, but we're called to glorify our Lord every single day of our life. And then there's one great problem. And what is that problem that's in the world that's great? It's sin. But you know, our Lord, knowing of that sin problem, didn't just leave us in it. He provided a way, and He gave us one great Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus came so that we may not only have eternal life, but we can have life to the full. And we have one great commitment. And that's what was talked about today in your Sunday school classes, in your small groups, is that one great commitment. And our challenge from this point on, as you receive this card, how many of you have received it? If you've received it yet, be patient with these guys, they're slow. And then they're slow handing out cards too, so that's... You'll notice on the logo above us, it says, pray, learn, invite, and share. That's the commitment that we're asking. That's the challenge, is that over the next month, that first of all, you commit to first of all pray for three people that are not saved. How many of you know three lost people? Probably all of us do. And I challenge you on this card, let's do this right now. You can take that little card, and let's all take that little tear it off. You notice it didn't make a sound. Did anybody hear mine? You didn't, and I have a microphone right in front of me. Tear that off. And don't just put it in your Bible, because I know what happens when you put things in your Bible. You won't see it possibly until, some of you that don't read your Bible every day won't see it until the next time you come to church. So take that and write down the name of three different people that you need to be praying for that do not know Christ as their Savior. That's where it begins right there. And we're going to talk next Sunday about how to pray for the lost. So next Sunday, that's where we're going, how to pray for the lost. Then the following Sunday, what do you think we're going to do? Next Sunday, we're going to talk about how to pray for the lost. The following Sunday, we're going to learn one gospel presentation. Well, doesn't that make sense? Because if we're going to pray for somebody to be saved, we also need to learn how to express our faith, to share our faith. And then we're going to be talking about how to inviting those people. You know, if everybody here, let's say if there's one person and that one person's inviting five people to come to church or come to your small group, the odds are is that one will come. You know, that's the statistic. If one person is inviting five people to come to their small group or come to worship, one person out of that five typically will come. But could you imagine if there's 100 people in here and they're all inviting five people to come, how many people would that be that's been invited? 500. Thank you, Stacy. One person in here. That'd be 500. Be 500. But do you know how many people would come according to statistics? 100. Can you imagine? What are we going to do with all of them? We'll figure something out. We'll open up the doors early on the new building, right? But this is the challenge that I want to issue to you today. And then on the following Sunday, which would be November the 6th, we're going to have Celebration Sunday. I want to celebrate what God's going to do through those today that will be willing to say, Pastor, I'm going to be part of the 3151 challenge. I'm going to pray for 3 lost people to come to Christ. Let me ask, how many of you can do that? How many of you could pray for 3 lost people to come to Christ? Do you think that's just at minimum what we should do as believers, is pray for people to come to Christ? I think so. I think every one of us can do that. Do you think that it would be good for you to know a gospel presentation? Sure. Do you think it would be good to invite some people to come and learn about the Lord and worship the Lord? Well, let me throw it out here a little bit further. Do you think one time this month you might be able to share the gospel with somebody? Just one time this month. Now everybody's got a lot quieter there. Well, maybe after you learn a gospel presentation, you could do that. But my challenge is to you to make that commitment. Gina Drews, our Sunday school director, every classes, how many of you involved in Sunday school? How many of you have seen one of these in your Sunday school classroom? Oh my goodness. Teachers are all given one of these. If your teacher doesn't have that up, shame on them. Come and, somebody whose class does not have this up, come and get it for your teacher right now. Come and get it for your teacher. But no, seriously, there's a challenge, and I encourage your class to make some goals. And every week, Gina Drew is going to come up, and she's going to share that week how many people have committed and how many people have been prayed for during the week, how many people have learned the gospel presentation, and so on. And it's going to be exciting to see what God is doing. Now, that's the challenge this month, and you're going to be hearing about it over and over and over. But as we look at Mark chapter 1, we're going to see that the disciples, as they were called by the Lord, they were all called by the Lord, and what happened during their calling? What was their response to the call? I'm giving you a challenge this morning. I'm giving you a call, and I don't think that it's anything that is above and beyond what a disciple should do. Do you? I don't think it is. And we're called to be soul winners. And as we look at how they responded, you're going to respond in one of two ways. You're going to either be a silent no or a resounding yes. Okay? And so God speaks with real truth whenever He calls His children to join Him in ministry. Look there, starting in verse 16, Mark chapter 1. It says, as He was going along by the Sea of Galilee, notice the He. See, that's capitalized in this translation. It says Jesus. But in my translation, it says He was going along by the Sea of Galilee. When it's capital, you know that's Jesus. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become what? Fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants. And notice it says, and they went away, and what does it tell us that they did? Followed him. So here are these guys, they're simply just living life, going about their everyday duties, and then Jesus comes along, and they encounter Jesus, and He calls them to come and to follow them. They were ordinary people doing ordinary things. And that's the way it is with us. Folks, as you read the Scriptures, there's nobody in the Bible that's any different than an ordinary person other than Jesus Christ. He is the only extraordinary individual in the Bible. We're ordinary people just like James and John and Andrew. We are just ordinary people, and Jesus comes by and he says to follow us. We have a task to do. He wants to involve us in his service. Have you ever stopped to think, well, what on earth is my purpose? What am I on this earth for? What do I have a call on my life? Yes, you do. Every person has a call. And that call is very personal. Now you'll notice, Jesus didn't go on the street corner, you never in Scripture find Jesus going on a street corner and just calling whoever will. You don't see him doing that. He goes specifically to specific people, and he calls them to be a disciple. Do you see that? You'll notice here he called four different people, and he calls them by name to come and to follow him. In the same way that it is for you, he called you specifically by name for a purpose. Jeremiah tells us, before you were formed in your mother's womb, you were set apart. He knows the very numbers of the hairs on your head. He knows all about you. Amen? He knows you very personally, and he designed you for a purpose. But that purpose is he's called you by name for a task. He has a purpose for you. He has a ministry for you, and that ministry is very personal. He intends you to come alongside what he is already doing. That's what he was doing with the apostles. That's what he was doing with these disciples. He calls them out by name, and he says, I've got a task for you, and he brings them alongside what he's doing. And I've often heard Christians say, you know, it would be amazing if they'll name off somebody that's a star or somebody that's very wealthy. Could you imagine what happened if that person would come to know Christ? Could you imagine what God could use them for? Folks, can you imagine what God could use, how he could use you if you were totally sold out? You don't have to be some celebrity for God to use mightily. You look at the people that are really doing service for the Lord. The ones that are really doing service for the Lord, you don't know their names. You don't know their names. There are people that have a prayer ministry that are just moving mountains because they don't want notoriety for themselves. You stop and think about the person that led you to Christ. Were they somebody that was a star? Probably not. They're probably a family member or somebody you knew that you trusted, somebody you had a relationship. Am I right? Have you thought about the people you know and the influence you have on them? You see, the Lord's call on us is very personal, and it's also very relational. You think about John. We were going through that series called Thread. You remember John? He's known as the disciple that Jesus loves. Did he say that just because Jesus loved him more than the others? No. He said that because he thought, you know, how is it that Jesus loves me knowing what I've been through in my life? He's very personal. It's very relational. Jesus desires us to have a personal, intimate relationship with him. You know, you can talk to him about anything in this world at any time, day or night. You don't have to worry about waking him up. Isn't that incredible? You don't get an answering service. He loves you. It's very personal. And he comes to us and he calls you to this personal relationship, and his call is definitive. It's definitive. You don't have to stop and wonder, what is it he wants me to do now that he's called me? You don't have to wonder about that. Because he tells us, look there in verse 17. He says, follow me, right? Follow me. And then he says, I'm going to make you become what? Fishers of men. Sounds to me like the call is pretty definitive, isn't it? What's he going to make us be? Fishers of men. The disciples knew when Jesus was calling their name exactly what they were called for. The call is not unclear. Are there people in this world that are lost? Yes. Let me ask you, is it becoming better or is it becoming more evil? More evil. Do you think more people need to be saved today than they did 10 years ago? Yes. Whose responsibility is it to share the gospel with them? Our responsibility. It's whenever we as Christians realize that Jesus has called us to a specific task, very personal call. He called you by name. That's when the Holy Spirit impressed upon you, you need a Savior. He didn't call you just so that you would go to heaven one day. That's not what it's all about. He called you so that you can glorify Him with your life, but also so that you will share that same call to others. He desires to use you in this definitive call. They knew that He was going to make them fishers of men. And also, this call in following Him was learning to share that with other people so that they would know how to lead others to Christ. As Jesus left, when Jesus was taken up to the Father, whose role was it to share with others about coming to Christ? It was the disciples, wasn't it? Sure. Whose role is it to teach those behind us how to come to Christ? It's our role, right? And so God calls us to proclaim the gospel. Now the challenge there is to commit. Folks, doesn't this sound just like what we're doing here? The 3151? We have a responsibility to pray. How many are we going to pray for this month? Three. How many presentations do we need to learn? One. You come next Sunday, we're going to talk about praying, how we're going to pray. The following Sunday, we're going to talk about how I'm going to teach you how to share the gospel, a simple gospel presentation. And I think if you can already come up with three people that need to know Christ, don't you think you can come up with two more to invite? Sure you can. Sure you can. And so this, once we know the call's definitive, it's personal, it's relational, then we have a responsibility to respond. To respond to the call. Now, the response that the disciples gave in Mark chapter 1 tells us some things about how our response ought to look. Jesus said in verse 17, the very first word there that really steps out is He says, follow who?
Me.
Follow me. To follow is that response. What did the disciples do? Did they tell Jesus, wait a minute, we've got work to do and then we're going to come and follow you? Is that what He did? No. What did they do? Immediately, they stopped what they were doing and they followed Him. Immediately. Well, you know, for me, I like to know oftentimes, well, what does this mean? What are we getting into? Anybody ever have those kind of questions? What on earth are we talking about? When you follow Jesus, it means a step of faith. Faith means that you're believing in things that you don't see. We're doing things that we don't have in our own power, but because the Lord has called us, we're going to step out and we're going to do what He has called us to do. It's a step of faith. And that's where many of us struggle. And we don't have it all figured out. But we're called to go somewhere and do something that He is a part of. And let me tell you, if anybody's ever done this study, Experiencing God, you know what the focus of that is. It's see where God is moving and you go and join Him in it. Right? That's the focus of it. Where is God moving? Evangelism. He's calling people to Himself. Why did the Lord send Jesus? Right? Remember John 3:16? Let's quote it together. For God so loved the world that He did what? For what purpose? Whosoever believes. You got it. So the purpose of sending His Son is for the whosoever so that they will not perish but have everlasting life. Do you think God is moving in evangelism? Yes. Some of you are saying, what do you mean evangelism? That's a churchy term. It means going to share your faith. Going to reach others with Jesus. That's what we're talking about. That's what Jesus came for. And He's calling us to follow Him. Here's another concern we have. Well, okay, I don't know where you're calling me to go, where are you calling me to go tell? Well, wait a minute. You've got three names you're already praying for. You're following him to those three names, those three people right off. For some of us, we could write a list of a lot more names than three real quick. I don't know about you, but my family, I can write a lot of names in my family. They all need Christ. What better place to start than right there in your own family? People that you work with. People that you are your neighbors. These are people we can pray for to come to know Christ, and we can follow Him going and sharing the gospel there. And you start worrying, well, Lord, if I go do this, how many of us worry about failure? Anybody worry about failure? Any of us worry about rejection? Let me show you something about this call that He gives us. Look in verse 17 again, okay? I want to show you you've got a different translation up there, but in New American Standard, He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know what that means? You're going to be successful. You're going to be successful. How many of you have ever gone out fishing, just fishing? Got your pole. How many of you came back without anything? Anybody ever done that? You were not successful, right? You know, how many of you don't have the patience to be a fisherman? Okay. Why? Because you don't catch anything. That's when you don't have the patience, because you don't catch anything. Because you're not a fisherman. But if you spend time around a fisherman and you had someone teach you how to catch fish, oh my goodness, then it's fun. Then it's fun. You start catching these fish, and when you get on to fish and you start pulling them in, it's a whole different ball game. Amen, fishermen? Amen. It's a whole different experience. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. You know what that says? You're going to be effective. Do you get it? You're going to be effective. That's what He's telling us. When we stop and we follow Him, we go out and we start getting serious about what the Christian life is about, which is sharing the gospel, seeing multiplication happening, watching new people come to Christ, seeing the waters of baptism flow. I would love to see November the 6th, us having nothing but a baptism service, not having a word preached, because this month we've been praying for the lost, we've been sharing the gospel, and we've been experiencing people saved. Wouldn't that be an awesome service? It would. But that service would happen when God's people decide we're going to follow Him because we have His promise to an effective ministry. An effective ministry. He tells us that His word does not come back void. You know what that means? That I can stand and I can tell stories and things, but that has no power. But whenever I stand and read the word of God, it has power. When we tell about what God has done in our lives, it has power. His word does not come back void. It does what it's called to do. It's effective. And so, as we think about this call that He's given us, we're called to follow Him to this effective call, but when? We're called to do it immediately. That's the next thing. You say, well, yeah, I want to follow Him, but I've got all these other things to do. Do you know my life? Do you know my schedule? Does that sound familiar? Well, when God happens to your life, when you've experienced Jesus, folks, there's no greater joy than Christ. There's no greater joy than serving Him and doing what you're called to do. Let me ask you a question. Is there any more important task that you have in this world than sharing the gospel? No. Is there any more important task? Some of you are sitting here going, I don't know. Well, let me ask you a question. Those people that you can think of that aren't Christians, do you want them to go to hell when they die? I sure don't. So you go back to that. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them? If they haven't come to Christ yet, and you're sitting and waiting on them to come to Christ, Could it be that it is your task for them to go and tell them about Jesus? And they're not coming to Christ until you go share with them the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus was very clear, walking up the disciples. He told those four men to come and follow Him. He called you for a purpose. Did He call you to come and follow Him just so you could come and sit in a chair on Sunday morning? No. Did He call you to come and follow Him just so you can pray to Him whenever you hit a crisis in your life? No. And I've spoke to people and said, that's what they think that being a Christian is about, is just having somebody to call out to when they're in a crisis. And you see it oftentimes. You see people that don't serve the Lord, but the moment they have a crisis in their life, they're back in church. Let me tell you, you were created to follow the Lord and serve Him. And we were given a great commission, Matthew 28, to go ye therefore into all nations. We're to proclaim the gospel. That's what we're called to do, to baptize them. We're to teach them. That's what we're called to do. Then the Acts 1:8 challenge, to be His witnesses in Jerusalem. Where's Jerusalem? It's right here in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. We have a call to go. Every one of the Gospels, towards the close, it's a push to go and share the gospel. And so this morning, with this card in your hand, I want to challenge you. Is God calling you? Grab that card. Grab a pen. I want to encourage you to do this. Grab a pen. Can you today say, Pastor, I'm going to be part of this challenge. Pastor, today I'm going to commit to be part of the 3151 challenge, where I'm going to go out and I'm going to pray for people that don't know Christ. I'm going to learn a gospel presentation. I've never done it before, but I'm going to learn one. And I'm going to invite five people to come to my small group or come to worship this week. And during one time this month, I'm going to share the plan of salvation with someone. And if you're willing to commit to that, can I ask you this morning? You know, we're done. The message is done. Can you believe that? You're going to beat the Methodist to the restaurant today. For all those Sundays I've held you late. But here's the invitation. The invitation is for you to say, you know what, I'm going to come and I'm going to lay this right here on the altar. And I'm going to make my decision public to say, yes, I'm going to commit over the next month to do this. Can you do that today? Janessa is going to come. Our musicians are going to come. And as they do, let's stand and bow in prayer. And I don't want you to just bring that card and put it up here because you feel pressured. I want you to pray over it first. I want you to begin praying, Lord, is this something that I can do? Is this something You really want me to do? Then begin praying, ask God to eliminate the distractions. Maybe you need to reprioritize some things in your life to be able to do these things. Father, I confess to You, I haven't been sharing my faith like I should, as often as I should. And I pray that You would help me to recognize that whenever I serve You and heed Your call, it's going to be effective. Whether they accept it or reject it, it's effective because Your word never returns void. And I pray that You would empower us today to commit to your cause, to commit to being followers of you, truly disciples, where we truly make you Lord of our life and realize that our very existence is to proclaim the gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.